you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. It's Testimony Tuesday. You know what that means. My favorite day of the week where I get to share oftentimes a friend's life story, his faith journey, where he gets to share maybe coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ or what God's doing in his life, his or her life or their lives. Sometimes it's a couple. A pastor, could be a missionary, an author, an artist, a musician. And today it's an unusual one. I don't think we've had many commodity traders before. And so we're going to find a little more of how you're doing that to God's glory. And you remind me a lot of Rob Seidenberg, and people know we have him on many Wednesdays, but Rob has had a number of jobs in his past, and as you were telling me, you know, Mark, yeah, I was an auto mechanic at one point and worked in a lab and a photographer, and then you worked for Boeing, and you were saying something about, yeah, they put you in this simple job you were working on, like, what, nuclear reactors or atom bombs or what, something, you know, kind of sounded pretty dangerous to me. And you've worked for IAA Trust Company, been to school a few different times and got your degrees, and I think you were telling me that at one point you needed some electives in college or something, and you thought, oh, commodities, that sounds interesting, and who would have thought that that would have taken, and you've been doing that trading for a number of years. When I used to talk with you, because this is kind of like a reunion, we used to see each other maybe weekly or monthly for years because you were very hands-on, involved, supportive of the radio ministry, and then I think our busy schedules and going different directions, we don't get to meet up much, but it's been nice you came in early that we got to get caught up on some of the things. You're the owner of Lawless Commodities, Inc. You now trade grains and crude oil and natural gas and stock index futures. But I always remember, like, when we'd go to the Texas Roadhouse, and you would always order pork chops because we used to say you sold those little piglets or hogs and futures in hog market.
Yeah, it used to be a live hog market, and now it's a lean hog market, which is the same hog, but after it's dressed out.
Okay. Do you understand that, everyone? And I will say you've been supportive since the day we went on the air, right? These 25 or so years, and you've been strategically used of God. There's been a few times you approached me, and I know you don't want your treasure taken away. I don't want to brag you up too much because then you'll lose your rewards in heaven, but you've come up with some matching monies years ago and done some unique things to really encourage people to give and support this radio ministry. But wait, it doesn't stop there. I know you've done that for many local ministries, and, you know, as I've met other people that oversee such and such and such and such. Oh, yeah, Bill Lawless, he helps us brainstorm and problem solve. He kind of is like a consultant to help advise or assist us. And you've just kind of had a knack to do that with many ministries throughout the greater central Illinois area.
Well, thank you. It's one of those things where if you just try to love God and love other people and try to help however God is calling you to help, it just makes life so much more wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we're on the giving end and sometimes we're on the receiving end.
Mm-hmm.
And God always seems to find a way to bless both sides of that.
Amen. Well, I'm going to start with a few of your favorite scriptures, and I think this will resonate with many of our listeners. They're familiar, they're well known, but they're special in various ways. But it's Matthew 22, 37 through 40, and this is Jesus speaking. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And then as we turn to Matthew 28, 19 through 20, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Another great one. And then Mark 10:15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Those are all great verses. Those are kind of fundamental to our Christian beliefs, that Jesus wants us to, you know, go and baptize and train and disciple, and the heart that God has for us to love everyone, to love him first and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so on this Testimony Tuesday, did you always have a sense to follow God? What's the progression of that faith journey? Did you grow up in a Christian home?
Yes, I did grow up in a Christian home, and when I was still in my hometown, I had some problems in that for some reason I did not hear about grace in the church that we went to. And I kept trying to live a perfect Christian life and obviously kept failing. And when I went to college, it was just very easy to resolve the conflict by going to church less and less, and things did not totally fall apart. And so I very stupidly decided that I could handle life on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually got to the end of my rope and realized that I desperately needed Christ in my life again.
And I'm just thinking, did I introduce you as Bill Lawless yet? You know, it's funny, when Marianne and I are doing an interview together, oftentimes we might get 5 or 6 or 10 minutes into it, and then I look at her, did we introduce the guest yet? And so Bill Lawless, a dear friend, I think I've known you for 25, we went on the air 25 years ago with our first frequency, 102.5 FM WGNN, and I think you were near or part of the very beginning. Weren't you at when we turned 103.9 FM on the air over at that hotel? Were you a part of that little celebration where we had a little remote device?
Yes, I was there. I do remember that. And went clear up to inside to the top of the building.
Yep, that's where we had the transmitter. Yeah. They've since torn down that building and we've located somewhere else. But yeah, you go way back, and I can't remember where we initially met. I think you heard about the station and wanted to be a part of things from the get-go, and we've gotten to see each other be used of God in various ways. And I know I've seen you at a number of different Christian banquets or other supportive ministries where you've had a role, or somebody will say, "Bill Lawless," and I'll go, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Has he consulted you or helped you with some different things?" "Oh, yeah, he's attended this." And I know you've been involved in your church and have a heart for internationals, and just really, I appreciate your involvement these many years. But I did mention you had a lot of different jobs, but how did you feel the Lord leading you through those jobs and then to start your own Lawless Commodities? Tell us a little of that journey.
Well, a lot of that journey was before God called me back.
Mm-hmm.
There were sort of three goals I had in life at that time, and none of them that I'm particularly proud of. Wanted to get rich quick and retire early and enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
And later God showed me that that's not what life is about, which I appreciate that very much. Another aspect of it, it was very exciting. In all the years I've done that, I've never had a dull day, many frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't live burning adrenaline.
Right.
It just doesn't work. And then the third part of it was, when things are going well, no one can tell you that you don't know what you're doing. If you're making a bunch of money, you know it, and that breeds a real arrogance within a person. And I finally realized that I was trying to impress people that I really didn't care about, and they did not care about me, and one day God just revealed the shallowness of all of that. And so finally got back in a good relationship with God and have continued that, sort of waiting for God to tell me what he wants me to do next.
Now, Bill, I'm thinking with our 19 frequencies and covering throughout the whole central part of Illinois into part of west central Indiana, we have a cross-section of people listening on the way to work. You know, many churchgoers and Christians, they tune in because they appreciate our format and our music mix and the God-honoring teaching. But for the skeptic or somebody maybe didn't grow up in the church or somebody far from God or even hostile to the concept that you could even worship a God because look at this world, look at the sin, how could there be a good entity or a good God behind it? You're talking about this relationship. For somebody maybe unfamiliar, what do you mean you could have a relationship with God? How would that look or how would that be? How was it for you?
The relationship with God is actually a very strange relationship. It's not like our relationship and sitting here talking back and forth. God speaks when he knows that's the time to speak. And he wants us to take steps of faith. And that's one of the most difficult things for people when they, okay, God is good, we'll try to be good. And without realizing it, they're trying to make a deal with God.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be good if you give me such and such. Well, God can obviously see right through that. Mm-hmm. But we as humans, when we don't know God, we don't understand that that's not the way that it works.
Mm-hmm.
And so it requires a lot of steps of faith, a lot of patience, and a lot of being humble, which for most Americans is not a real natural.
Right.
And just really a determination to seek God regardless of what he does, regardless of what he says, regardless of the trials that he puts us through, because only he who is our creator knows what it takes to get us where we need to be, to live life to the full and to have eternal life.
Mm-hmm. What you're sharing makes me think of a couple different verses. Recently, I've been reading through the book of Hebrews a couple different times, and there's a verse, I can't think of where it's at, but for without faith it is impossible to please God. But it's kind of interesting because for without faith it's impossible to please God. And I was doing a study on what pleases God. What could I do? What can we do to please God? And so if you look at that, we can have faith. And then there's that whole Hebrews chapter 11, you know, Abraham, and it goes through all these people that some of the things they trusted in God, but some of the things that they were hoping for weren't necessarily realized while they were still on earth, but they still had faith in God's character, his promises, and they trusted in him. And so sometimes they didn't even get to see those promises realized during their lifetime, but they had faith. And then James 4:8 came to mind, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And that's one of my favorite verses. And I tell skeptics or people that maybe are hostile towards that concept, there could be God, or they wouldn't even entertain that idea. I said, hey, James 4:8, part of his word, his holy scriptures, recollect or recount the fact that if you will draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. So I said, even if you don't believe in him, just say, well, God, I don't believe in you. This Mark Burns guy, this Bill Lawless guy said that you exist. I don't know. I'm not really sure. But I think if they just would take that baby step forward and say, God, if you do exist, could you reveal yourself in some way, maybe through your word, through individuals, through, you know, nature, through a life story or a happenstance, something which I would call a divine appointment, but God does honor that. And so as you came back to him, what was some of that progression? Did you start feeling a peace again or in the center of his will? Or was it just a recognition, his character is good, his character is true, I just need to get to know him better through Jesus?
Well, when I really started coming back, there was, I guess, a low point in my life. I had had huge losses in my trading, didn't know how I was going to be paying some bills and so on. And I was just laying on my bed kind of crying out to God as a last hope. And God actually did something very unusual in my mind. He convicted me of three sins. One was, to God belongs the glory, but it's nice to stand next to God while he's getting the glory. Very humbly, of course.
But,
and one of them was just real self-centeredness. And I can't remember what the third was, but it was like I was accused, arrested,
convicted,
taken to court, convicted, just in a flash. And in kind of a daze, I said, but God, I need money. And I just knew, I mean, he just grabbed a hold of me somehow. and I knew that I had to do those things first.
Resolve them or confess them or surrender.
Right. And so I started working on that, and at that point, I just really had peace. One of the things also that makes me really believe in the truth of the Bible is that God has given us a life filled with paradoxes. For example, if your goal in life is to be happy, you won't be. I've come up with 40 or 50 of these paradoxes, and the Bible nails every single one. The Bible is an incredibly practical book. It's sort of like a manufacturer's instructions on life. And if you really approach the scripture with the idea that you want to learn, the answers to life are in the Bible.
Right. That's what's so unique about the Bible. And we've been doing scripture memory on our Memorization Monday program. And I think of that Hebrews verse where, you know, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, training, and righteousness. And how glorious it is as you think about it and meditate on it. Now, today being the 12th, I started this at the beginning of the year. I'm reading a chapter of Proverbs every day. So today was chapter 12 on the 12th day of the month. And I know you've had various practices of reading through the Bible and studying it and meditating on it and thinking about it. And God does use it to bring clarity or health or hope or a direction many times as we're praying through some. And so some people would say, well, does God speak to you? Well, I've never heard voices, but I've had strong impressions, or as I read the Word, what's unique about God's Word is it's like an onion. You can keep peeling another truth or another insight from it, and you can read it, and one week you glean this out of it, but maybe 2 years later you glean something different out of it, and it's living and active.
Right, and sometimes certain words will like just jump off the page at you. And you know that that's what God wants you to focus on that day.
Well, I wanted to share with our listeners that it's kind of unique, this divine appointment, because I haven't talked with you in a long time, and Karen says, hey, Bill's dedicating the 12th again, and I think you've had a practice, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 years, many years, you dedicate a day and in honor of your beloved daughter, Kenda Lawless, who went to be with the Lord many years ago. And when Karen sent this to me, I was like, oh, wow, we have to write up and script out these spots, and I got to get that already. And when she said the 12th, I just wasn't thinking. This was yesterday. Wow, tomorrow's the 12th. I got to pull this off. Wow, I don't have much time. I got to get in the studio and record these spots and get them all set to play today. And so I called you up on Monday night, and I said, hey, Bill, do you want to be a part of Testimony Tuesday, and we can honor Kenda and talk about her? And you were kind of like, okay. And I said, you know, with the dedicated day and all, and yeah, that's on the 12th, but you said, well, Mark, but that's September 12th. So at the
you got
time,
plenty of time.
Yeah, so there is no pressure. I said, well, come in anyways for our Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends and share some of your faith journey. But let's end on a little about Kenda, because she was your beloved daughter that was taken way too soon. And you have had this practice of honoring her birthday and her memory. Tell us a little about her.
Well, she was my first daughter, and the labor was very long because, as we discovered after she was born, she had hydrocephalus. In a baby in the womb, there's a passageway that forms, I believe it's about 6 months into the pregnancy, that lets the fluid in the brain circulate into the spinal cord. And in her, this particular passageway did not form. And so pressure just built up more and more and more in her brain. And right after she was born, the pediatric neurologist put in a shunt, which is an artificial passageway, and told us that the prognosis was not good, that her IQ would probably be between 5 and 50, and to seriously consider putting her in an institution at birth. Needless to say, that was very different than what we had expected and had some unique challenges as she was growing up. But we were very blessed in that the damage to the brain was very minimal. She did have a slight case of cerebral palsy, which made her walking just a little bit awkward, just barely noticeably awkward. But her memory was excellent. She finished second in the downstate Illinois National Spanish exam. And after she finished high school, she went to Parkland College and took up broadcasting. Mm-hmm. And so that's why this was your dedicated day here. It just seemed like a very natural fit. While she was at Parkland, she was crossing the street at night, and a driver did not see her, and she was struck and died later that night. For people who have lost a child, I would really encourage you to talk with other people who have lost children. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of healing in being able to express your pain with someone who really understands it, and there's a lot of awkward moments that appear. Mm-hmm. I remember getting in general conversations and having someone ask, "How many children do you have?" And I just kind of stood there. And I'm sure they were wondering, this guy doesn't know how many children he has. Mm-hmm. But when I talked to a lady who had lost her daughter, she said, "You know, I've got three children. One went to be with the Lord, and the other two are living at home." Anyway, there's a lot of questions that can be answered, and that is a very comforting thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there are a lot more people that have lost children than you ever would think. Mm-hmm. Another thing that was very strange about it is that it seemed perverted that your child would die before you do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it brings closure to parenting. There's a lot of strange things that go on in a person. But the one thing that I really remember is that the greatest gift that any child can give to their parents is their Christian faith. Because no matter what happens to them, they're safe. And I am comforted in that I know that if I could bring her back, she would not want to come. She is in a place incredibly glorious, and her absence is only temporary, because at some point in time, I will join her and we will be reunited.
Yeah. I know we talked a little bit about your beloved Kenda off air, and you said, "Mark, you know, even though I'm convinced she's in the center of God's will, she's in heaven, she's enjoying that community with the Father and with other people," you said there's still times that it aches, it's hard, and so I wanted you to be able to share that, because I'm sure there's other listeners that maybe have gone through it or are going to go through it or might be able to be a little more sensitive or attentive to those that have had that great loss. And there's no easy ways to just give a pat scripture verse, you know, that Romans 8:28, "And in all things God works for the good." Of course he does, but sometimes it's not appropriate to just cite scripture. It's just to empathize or listen. And I appreciate you, Bill, how you've used that experience and many of your other experiences to help ministries and to proclaim the good news message of Jesus and to help fund different groups that do that very thing. So thank you for sharing on Testimony Tuesday, and we just appreciate your legacy and how you're using it to God's glory. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Bill Lawless with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.